Helen.
And I'm Liz.
And we're sisters,
scientists,
and lifelong X-Files fans.
And this is We Want to Believe.
All right, welcome everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's episode of Liz getting a chance to share some of her book with you all.
Yes, less than I intended, or less than I thought I would, because not hopefully you didn't enjoy it less than I intended. Oh. But if Helen, I don't know that you've listened to it, which is fair, you've read the book, but I recorded a bunch, then remembered there's some rule in my contract about how much I can just share for free. And it turned out to be shorter than I thought. So I had to go back and cut myself off. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure how it works with the rules, because it was about how much of the actual audiobook I can share. But I thought I'd err on caution as far as, I don't know,
yeah,
people screaming or something, or asking me to take stuff down.
Yeah. What, how much, because it just came out this morning as we're now recording this. How much were you able to share?
5 minutes. So I talked, it's not a 5 minute long episode. It's not a too long, but it's I the worst part is that I read for like a long time in one big streak, then was like, wait, and paused it and checked, and then had to also, if you listened to our last episode and you thought, did their editing get choppier or shittier? Yes, I did it all myself. So
I mean, still pretty impressive, I'm sure.
You haven't listened to it.
I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt. Are you able to, like, is that at one time? Like, have you shared your 5 minute limit forever? Or can you share 5 minutes another time? Like, how does that work?
So what the contract with my audiobook publisher says is that I can't share more than 5 minutes of the audiobook on my website as like a promotional thing, which sort of makes sense because they want to sell it.
Yeah.
The problem is that this was just me reading my book. It's not the audiobook.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, because it seems kind of similar to like doing a book reading.
So it's kind of like an audiobook in that I'm reading the book aloud, but it's also not, because it's just me reading. But I have to figure, I don't know, err on the side of caution, because it's a recording of the words of my book. So yeah, I don't know. Well, I always leave them wanting more. So
yeah. And I mean, you want people to buy the book too. They want people to buy the audiobook, you know.
I was quite aggressive as I told them what to do. So them being you all listening.
You told them to go buy the book, presumably?
Yes.
Or, oh, okay.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they should. anything else?
I did see another light outside my window at night in my living room. Like I did, that looked like a UFO, but it looked less like one this time.
Huh.
So I think it's probably just a weird plane. So
yeah, could it be like a drone of someone's, like your neighbor's?
I don't think it's a drone. I think it's too big. I think it's too normal. Normal isn't the right word. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's just some sort of plane.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'll keep an eye on things.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they want me to think. I don't think I have any other updates.
Yeah, me neither. And I'm going to be honest, I don't have a whole lot of notes either. I, in fact, stopped taking notes about 5 minutes into the episode.
What?
Yeah, and this is not me, like, well, so let me, there are two problems here.
Okay.
The first is that, like we suspected, it's a kind of like, ooh, mystical stuff with indigenous people and, you know, and some real bad anthropology. And mm-hmm. so that would be problem one, which is not like, what's the word? A limiting factor. Like I would continue to watch the episode through that. But the other problem is that it's just real bad. So we're talking about Teso dos Bichos, I think.
Yes.
They never say that during the episode. And I don't speak Spanish, so I'm doing my best. And it's real bad. And that's what got me to stop watching was not...
Wait, hold on.
I didn't stop watching. I watched the entire episode. I watched the episode. So what got me to stop taking notes. I didn't watch it all. But I also was like looking for like bulk gravel suppliers near me. because I needed something else to keep my attention because it's just bad.
How'd you choose bulk gravel as a thing to keep you distracted?
Oh, because it's on my to-do list anyway. So we have Operation No More Mud trying to be our backyard is terribly muddy. And so this is a constant problem for me because it is always on my brain because I am always vacuuming and mopping because there is always mud in my house.
Weird thing is that your last house had the same issue.
Yeah, it did. It is weird. And also both houses, which are the only two houses we've ever owned in two different cities, the last one and this one, when we moved, both had like a side door, but the fence didn't encapsulate the door.
Yes.
And so we had to move the fence for both houses. And now the yard is real muddy. And like the first thing is weird. The muddy yard may have something to do with giant dogs.
I had big dogs though, and I've never had that issue.
That's true. You have big lazy dogs though. Do you think that matters?
They do have very delicate paws.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know.
You expect them to cut through the soil with those.
That is true. Yeah. Paws. Because of pressure, right? Force over area, smaller area, little delicate pawsies.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Wait, no, I don't know. I think it's just that I live in, you know, cookie cutter suburbia and
maybe
they just like, people love lawns, have to have a good one. I don't know.
Yeah, I am just gonna gravel over all everything. Not everything, but half of everything. I can't take it anymore. I cannot clean my floors any more than I already am and maintain my sanity. And I can't keep dealing with changing my sheets all the time either because the damn poodle gets mud on our bed because he runs in the house and then jumps on our bed.
He's swift. He's very swift.
Very swift. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very bad. Anyway, so that's what I was doing instead of taking notes. Bad news. It's hard to find good gravel delivery around me. but worse news, this seems so it's like, I was doing some researching of it online, and it seems to be like routinely one of the worst episodes. Like one of the ones people say is like the most poorly done. Like the writing sucks, the acting seems to suck. Like it's like just real bad. Like it wasn't not just like bad, like, oh, this is like lame. Or, you know, like a dumb premise or something, but just like bad, like legitimately, which is why I had to stop talking, stop. No.
Again, things you shouldn't do for this podcast, not watch the episode or stop speaking.
Stop taking detailed notes. There is particularly, there's a scene at the end where Scully is getting attacked by a cat. And it is the... It is more fake looking than any of the Fluke Man, alien, anything. Like,
really?
The cat looks like more ridiculous and fake than like any of their monsters. Maybe because I know what an actual cat looks like and they can, you know, I don't know what an actual Fluke Man looks like. But God.
I mean, you'd think that they could utilize how terribly lit the show is to provide some more cover for, I don't know, their fake cats.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask, is this the episode, and this is all, I remember no context at all, but there's a youngish woman yelling at a youngish man and going, you're drinking yahe? Or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the deal is, it starts out, this is when I have notes. that there's a group of archaeologists excavating a site in South America. And it's kind of a like South America question mark? Because like they I can't remember what they actually call it, but like the people are dressed like how I would expect like Peruvian populations to dress. And they mention a myth, which we'll talk about, that's specific to the Inca. But then they also, there apparently is a Montetaso dos Bichos, which is an archaeological site, but that's in Brazil. So it's kind of like somewhere in South America.
Like a grab bag of things south of here.
Yes. And then according to Wikipedia, it takes place in Ecuador. So I don't know.
Okay.
But there's two archaeologists that are in charge of the dig. And it starts off by showing like archaeology happening. And it's clear that there's like the people native to the area that are working there. And so at first I was kind of like, well, okay. Like, cause that's a good practice. You want to involve, if you're, you know, at a dig for somewhere you're not from, you want to involve people that are. And they've got, and actually it was fine. Like they have like their survey equipment and then they have like their, like, you know, meter, 1 meter by 1 meter grid system set up.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, yeah, all right. There is one guy that it shows that I had to rewind. Cause I was like, did he just step on an artifact? Like it shows like a pot in like, in situ, like halfway excavated. And I swore that it showed him step on it. So there was some, you know, not super, I don't know. I don't almost step on artifacts. And then, so they find something and start yelling. Yeah. And they're all like worked up about it and, oh my God, come here. And like everyone runs to the area and they grab, the two guys in charge. So this, Dr. Belak and Dr. Roosevelt, and Dr. Roosevelt, or well, Dr. Belak is there first. And he is, I don't know if they say if he is Ecuadorian or he said, they say that he spent a lot of time like in this area with these people.
Okay.
And he's able to communicate with them. I think they're speaking Spanish.
Okay.
Although
again, if there is a site like this and it's in Brazil, they'd be speaking Portuguese. So.
Right. Yes.
Whatever.
In
yeah.
Ecuador, they speak Spanish.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
yeah.
Maybe it did say that it was in Ecuador and you were just shopping for gravel at the time.
It's possible. They do routinely name the tribe that he's supposed to be working with, the Sakona, I think they keep saying.
Okay.
Which is not real, as far as I can
okay.
tell.
All right.
But so Dr. Belak is communicating, speaking Spanish with the archaeologists that were working, and he like runs to get Dr. Roosevelt and calls him out of his tent. And Dr. Roosevelt is an old white guy with a mustache.
Okay.
And so far, I felt like, yeah, okay. Like, there's an old white guy with a mustache who's in charge of the dig. And then everyone who's doing the
actual work. Is it Teddy Roosevelt? Because he's an old white guy with a mustache.
Oh. I mean, it's not. I don't know if it was named after him.
That would be a real X-File since he would be dead. I want to see that.
Yeah. And what they had found was, like, a burial urn. So it was skeletal remains inside of, and this honestly was one of the things that I found, no, not the most unbelievable. There's a lot of really actually unbelievable stuff, but like the idea of being on a site and being like, oh my God, it's human remains. Oh. And like everyone like freaks out and run it. Like, I don't know. It would be.
They don't just get, I just pictured everybody just gets pottery and you're super bored of pottery and you're like, thank God it's a bone. That's not how it is. Well, I guess I should say, maybe that's not the energy in the scene anyway.
The energy is like freaked out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta figure and, there's dead people everywhere, right? I mean,
yeah, there are. Yeah. Yeah. And they say that it's so, they say that the site is being excavated because of some sort of project. So some sort of construction. And so that's why they're excavating, which is like also pretty realistic. That's why most excavations happen these days. So like, I don't know. It just like, I don't know. The idea of like, it's all clustering around. Oh my God. I don't know. I just didn't buy
Can
it.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I've been doodling while we've been talking, and I just doodled something, and I'd like you to guess what it is. Because
Okay.
it just turned out really good. What do you think that
Oh,
thing
it's a capybara? Is it a capybara?
No, it's supposed to be a hippo, but it does look like a capybara, doesn't it? Anyway, I was about to be like, that's like the best hippo I've ever drawn.
Let me see it again.
I was like really impressed with this hippo, but you know, it looks like a capybara, doesn't it?
I think if we were talking about Africa, I would have immediately known it was a hippo, but I think because
you were primed for capybaras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a very nice looking little hippo.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think because we're talking about South America,
yeah.
I expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. You know, this is a audio medium, but I needed to show you that picture of a animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hippo. It's a nice little hippo.
Maybe I'll include it on our graphic for this week instead of the normal graphic.
I think you should. It's a nice little guy. It also says Teddy Roosevelt above it, so I'm going to assume that that's your picture of Teddy Roosevelt. Anyway, so they're doing contract archaeology, and so Dr. Roosevelt is like, we must bring this back to Boston. And Dr. Bielak doesn't want to, and is saying that the people that are local there think that they should keep it where it is. And this is actually like an interesting, I'm not going to make us discuss it because I don't know what I would have to contribute. But it's, I think, like an actually interesting archaeological topic, which is like, well, if something is going to be destroyed, do you save it and bring it back to Boston? Or if the local people want to leave it in situ and then, you know, like it's,
oh yeah, no, that is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So they excavate it. And at like the campfire that night, they're drinking yahe.
Yahe?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to shout it.
Or ayahuasca. And
do they actually call it ayahuasca in the episode, or is it just like, okay, that's kind of what I thought. It has like, it's like pretend ayahuasca or whatever, like fictionalized ayahuasca.
No, I think that's a like nickname for
it.
Oh,
is it?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know drug nicknames. I got lost when people started talking about Molly, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Don't make me. Anyway. Okay.
I told the story about Mary Jane on our podcast?
I don't even know what story you're referring to.
Oh, so I don't know how old we would have been. I would have been a kid. And on MTV, Tom Petty's Last Dance with Mary Jane came on.
Yeah.
And you told me, well, what he's actually talking about, because Mary Jane is the, like, you know, nickname for heroin.
I said that.
Yeah. And so I thought this for like,
no,
decades.
I remember someone telling me that at school and me thinking,
oh, really?
Really? But my memory says they said marijuana, or they just implied it like, oh, you should know what that is. And I just, my brain was full of Kurt Cobain and just was like, oh, must be heroin or something. Like, oh God. God, that's so embarrassing.
I mean, it shows neither of us did drugs, and I think that's
it really does. Yeah, I was thinking about when I was a senior in high school, and a friend said, oh yeah, so-and-so brought rolls to school and was like giving them out, and that's like, apparently, I don't know, there was a lot of ravers. I'm the right age to know ravers.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
ecstasy. And I was like, oh, they had dinner rolls at school, how nice. Like, I was thinking, like, picturing somebody with like a basket full of dinner rolls under a napkin and passing them out.
Oh man, if I could go to a rave where they were passing out dinner rolls, that's like my ideal situation.
Yeah.
If they were
also,
if
the rave ends at like 8 p.m.
Yes. Yeah. And isn't too loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so my human physiology students every year, I have them design their own experiments. And we have all this like, cool equipment they can use for running like ECGs and EMGs and EEGs, all the EGs. You know, the, like the, where they put electrodes,
they attach you to a thing and it does a beeping and
there's no beeping, lines. But yeah. they attach you to a thing and there's lines. That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
And so one of the ones, so yesterday was the day when we did this. So we like invite in other people from the science center and, they can like come take part in the students' experiments. And one of the groups was looking at the physiological responses to embarrassment. And so they were reporting, skin temperature, like, skin surface temperature to your face.
That's so cool.
And heart rate. And then asking,
well, okay. Sorry. You're about to tell me.
Yeah. Asking a series of more and more embarrassing questions. What turned out. So, and they were like, and I didn't know the questions and I was participating in them too. And so they were like, oh, you know, Helen, will you participate? I was like, yeah, sure. And then was like, oh no. I mean, I knew what their experiment was. I had approved it, but I didn't know like what they would consider embarrassing, but it actually, the most embarrassing question for me was not, that was actually their first question, which is supposed to be the least, but was, if you, like, what is your most embarrassing app on your phone? Like, if there was, like, if someone was going to see your phone and how much time you spend on a certain app, what would be the one that you'd, like, want to immediately delete?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and my answer was SimCity. And I just felt like the biggest nerd.
I feel like a lot of people like The Sims. Oh, wait, that's the city one. I don't know. I feel like that could be so much worse.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm scrolling. Yeah. I don't think I have especially embarrassing apps, but I did. I mean, I feel like I have Reddit on my phone. That's probably more embarrassing in a way.
I have Reddit on my phone. How else am I going to learn how to properly do my own nails and which books to read next?
Oh,
yeah.
I think I'm just, I read this. I know we're getting very far afield here from the episode, but on Ask a Manager yesterday, somebody wrote in because, I mean, this just sounds like a bunch of bullshit, but they had set their phone so that they were trying to like have better not picking up their phone in public practices for the New Year's resolution. So they made their lock screen. They had some program that would make a different AI porn image on their lock screen. And then at work, it went off and they were trying to like silence it in their backpack. And their coworker was like, what are you doing? Just bring it out of your bag. And then they had to, and people saw it and they were like, how can I ever recover professionally?
Oh,
and they were like, well, maybe you should have said something in the moment like, oh, a friend did that or whatever. Like, you know, or just like be really, really extra the opposite of that. And eventually you'll probably recover.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll just think, oh, something wasn't closed, as opposed to your judgment was, I should have porn on my lock screen. AI porn, no less.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And people in the comments were like, what if your phone rings in the grocery store and there's people around? What, you know, like, what are you thinking? Like,
what if you go to the hospital? What if,
yeah. So I feel like, you know, I think SimCity isn't making much of an impression, having just read that like 24 hours ago.
Sure. Having to admit how much time I spend on SimCity to my students, though, was.
Oh, that's interesting. How much time do you spend on SimCity?
Like 1 to 2 hours a day.
A day? Sorry. I mean, I don't know. I think it's really healthy, though, because no one would bat an eye if you were on social media that long, or they might think it's bad.
But I'm not, because it's better for my mental health. And so
100%. Like,
watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine reruns, because that's all there is. I don't know why I said reruns, on Peacock at night instead of browsing Instagram. My Instagram is on a time limit, so I only have so much time I can be on there a day. And so then I go on SimCity.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is, that is actually like really smart, I think.
Well, thank you. Yes. I'm engaging in commerce and building the Eiffel Tower and, you know. anyway, that was embarrassing things related to the not knowing drug slang.
Yes. So,
Yahe is a term for ayahuasca.
Okay.
And that night they're like kind of all hallucinating and stuff, or at least Dr. Bielak is, and then a Jaguar shat, or wait, no, a shaman appears in the distance, and a jaguar shadow appears and kills Dr. Roosevelt.
Okay. Oh yeah, by the way, because you've done actual digs and stuff, how common do you think it is for everyone to do ayahuasca?
I mean, I'm not a South American archaeologist, but I have friends who are, and as far as I'm aware, it's not common at all.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a whole step beyond, like, let's go out for a beer after
Right.
a day of digging.
Yeah. That is common everywhere, as far as I can tell. There is like like archaeologists are known to be big beer drinkers.
Oh, specifically beer?
Yeah. I
Do you
don't.
think it's because beer is so old as like a concept?
Well, there is like the archaeological study of beer. Like, I've been to conferences where people have like studied the like pollen and chemicals and stuff left over in residue from beer and
Oh.
stuff. And so there's like, I know at one conference one time years ago, someone was presenting on that. And then there was like a special like beer drinking session, basically, where like everyone out then with the guy with from the beer, like,
That's awesome. Oh my
yeah.
God.
So ayahuasca, no, that I haven't heard of. So the whole deal is that this female shaman had been buried in this urn, and they refer to her as an Amaru.
Oh yeah, that is a familiar word. Not generally, just from this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is something from Incan mythology. And I am, let's see. In Incan mythology, I'm reading from Wikipedia, Amaru is a huge double-headed serpent that dwells underground at the bottom of lakes and rivers.
Nice.
Illustrated with the heads of a bird and a puma.
Oh, it's a snake, but it's got a head of a bird and a puma.
Yeah, kind of. So,
it kind of sounds like, do you remember that Office episode where Michael Scott is kind of rambling about other religions and what their animals look like or whatever, or their gods? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the quote. Something like the head of a something and the, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds a lot like what you just said.
Then it says, okay, it had multiple heads consisting of either a puma's, a condor's, or a llama's head, which is very exciting, with a fox's muzzle, condor wings, snake's body, fish's tail, and coated in crocodilian or lizard scales.
Damn.
So yeah, it's not just a leopard, and I think they should, you know, frankly, I think they should have leaned into that more.
On the other hand, if they can't even make a cat look realistic.
Yeah, it's true. And so it's like a dragon, basically, sort of thing,
okay.
You know, mythology. And so it's, you know, not, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they're getting any of this, but I especially don't know where they're getting the jaguar shaman stuff. But
right. Anyway. Yeah. So there's no like shaman aspect to it.
No. And that's when I stopped taking notes. It's the cold open. And it just gets worse and worse, because I can sum this up very quickly, the rest of the episode. And that's that that Dr. Belak is like hooked on ayahuasca, basically. And he comes back to Boston, and he is like continually summoning this Amaru, but in this case, this jaguar, to get back at the people that destroyed the site and that who wanted to take the remains out of the site.
Wait, the people who destroyed it, or the people who wanted to remove the remains?
The people who wanted to remove the remains, not like the construction people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he was mad at them. So he keeps summoning this god to kill them?
Not a god, and yes, to kill
them.
Yeah. So
he keeps summoning this jaguar woman.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yes. Eventually he's killed as well. They're at one point attacked at like towards the end of the episode. They're like trying to find where he went to, and they're attacked by a bunch of feral cats. There's all sorts of like animal attacks going on that they're like not sure what's causing them. Like the rats have gone crazy, and there's like a it's just like bad. I don't know. Like they're there's like a scene where like all these rats are like trying to escape from a toilet because they've been in the sewers and are like trying to get away from whatever this is.
Well, so the rats are going crazy because they're like jaguar spirit. Uh-oh.
I think. And that's not even because I didn't take notes. That's because like they didn't make it clear at all. And so it's like there's like a PhD student who was, I think, kind of like with Dr. Belak.
Was she in, at the dig or no?
No, she wasn't at the dig. And it's like everyone dies is the weird thing too. So it's,
oh, she dies as well.
She dies too. Dr. Belak dies too. Like, it's like, I feel like there's a very not satisfying conclusion. And eventually the urn is returned to the burial grounds, and we see like the local shaman watching the urn's reburial with jaguar-like eyes.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, it's just not.
What are Mulder and Scully up to here?
Mulder and Scully are like making dumb jokes, and like they, so it's pretend. But the
no, don't tell me. I'm gonna be too upset.
Okay. I mean,
is it about the rats?
No. Kinda.
Is it about the jaguar spirit?
No.
Do you want you know what? Don't tell me. I can live without it.
Okay.
I can just live without it. I'm okay with
dumb jokes. Just like, okay. I don't know. I can't. That's okay.
I'm very delicate.
Okay.
But I drew that thing, the Amaru, if you'd like to see.
I would very much. Oh.
It's got the head of a bird and the head of a cat, and it's a snake. Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
It's a very nice little guy. That guy doesn't look like he'd attack people, though.
No. Well, I think the bird head might. I'm not sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mulder and Scully, like, there's, honestly, I feel like there wasn't much of them. And
I feel like some episodes are like that. Like,
yeah.
It's trying to be a standalone story, and they're just there to kind of have some consistency or framework or something.
Right. And their, like, banter reminded me of, like, what is it? Whenever you see on a show, we've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. There's one episode where like there's a TV show that's supposed to be like, you know,
dude, yes.
Something.
Mm-hmm. I was just okay. I knew that. You're talking about the episode where they are on the set of like a procedural with like fake detectives, and Nathan Fillion is on there, and he's hilarious. Yes. I love that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have been kind of at a loss of what to watch for just like something kind of mindless during dinner.
Yeah.
I've gotten Adam to start watching What We Do in the Shadows, which I cannot recommend highly enough.
Right.
It is a crime that you have not watched it yet. But
I just don't watch new stuff, really. But yeah.
I mean, it's not new at this point.
No, new to me.
I know. It's tough to get started on new stuff. It took me years to get Adam to start watching this, but he won't watch it while he eats because sometimes there's too gross of stuff because they're vampires and stuff.
Right.
So we have to watch something else. And we were like, I was like, well, I've heard about this show, Will Trent. It's based on books. Hmm. And it's a procedural very much like the one on that episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Really?
And so before you could even say what you were going to say, I was like, oh, I wonder if it's like on Will Trent with the banter there. Because sometimes when I'm watching it, I think it feels like a parody of one of these shows.
Yes.
But not in a good way. Like, because it's not a parody. It's, you know, tragic backstory, inappropriate banter.
Why are you watching it? Is it good?
No.
Just start watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine then.
Well, we don't have Peacock, and they took it away from us. But we've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine so much that it's like almost too much. Yeah.
Second time through.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was I going to say? I heard it was good. Well, I heard it was based on books and that people were passionate about the books and the show existed and I don't know. So I thought, oh, sure, maybe. And I knew it got renewed for 3 seasons. So then we watched the pilot and we were like, well, often the pilot isn't that good. So we watched the next episode or two. And then we were just like, well, I don't know what else to put on. We're tired. I guess we'll just put on the next one. And now we're 6 in and we're like, no, we got to stop. This
is too dumb.
Yeah. Wow. So I totally, totally know what you mean about like, what does Tobias say? Tell me that isn't a CBS type procedural show or whatever. Yeah. On Arrested Development.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how their banter is, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not what I want from Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
Apparently, like I couldn't like substantiate this, but I read it multiple places that some of the crew members and maybe cast had like t-shirts made that said like Teso dos Bichos Survivor. Like they all did it too, like at the time. Yeah, it was like actually quite a bit worse than I even recalled. Like I remember it being like, oh, Jaguar, but I didn't recall how actually bad it was.
So I remember an episode where they are walking around this area where there are these big wooden crates and there's an animal stalking them and is going to kill them. I don't know if it's that episode or not. It's towards the end and it's legit scary.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Or I was too deep into my gravel at that point. I don't know.
No, I think it could. I think there's another episode where there's like a scary animal spirit coming from Hong Kong, maybe.
Oh, well, the next episode is called Hell Money.
Not that one.
Oh, okay. Got Lucy.
That one, Lou, I think? That one. Yeah, that one. So that's the one I'm watching. Oh, yeah. God.
Why?
Okay. If I'm thinking of the right one, which my track record is iffy, it's got a creepy organ thing happening.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Do you want me to take that one?
I mean,
well, what's after that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Jose Jung's From Outer Space.
Oh, so now that's what's after Hell Money?
Yeah.
Now here's the question. You like that episode. I remember it only being fine. And so I feel like, should I watch it to like give it another chance though?
We should both watch it the same way we watched the Donnie Faster episode. I mean, we don't have to watch it in the same way, although we could.
Yeah. Okay.
We should both watch it. I'll watch Hell Money. It'll be fine.
Are you sure?
Look, if you were shopping for gravel while watching this episode, I feel like the stakes are a little bit lower for me for watching Hell Money. So,
yeah, shop for gravel for me during it.
You'll be like, so tell me about the episode. And I'll be like, well, first of all, got to do a great deal on some gravel.
Yeah, that would be great. Something not to gravel. That was the mistake we made at the last house.
What'd you say?
Not pea gravel. That was the mistake we made at the last house because it's too small and it gets stuck in doggy paws.
Oh, so there's different sizes. Okay.
Oh, yes.
You know how people have like potlucks?
Yeah.
What if you had a potluck except everyone brought some gravel?
That would be awesome. I don't know what sort of situation that I could I mean, I'm having people over Sunday. Is it too late to
No, it's not. I know it's clothing swap, but my friend Hannah's coming with me and she doesn't really have any clothes to contribute. She's like, I'll just take them if that's okay. And I was like, yeah, but now I can tell her, well, you got to bring something. How about some gravel?
Yeah, perfect. Great.
Yeah.
There we go.
I should go and see if in the invite, in the like Evite thing, can I, as just an attendee, can I tell everyone in the group something? Yeah. This is one of those gravel potlucks, you know about those.
Yeah. Well, and that's all I got. I mean, it was, you know.
Did Mulder and Scully find out what happened? Like, did they, was it one of those where they're kind of clueless by the end? Or did they eventually go, hey, I think it's a jaguar spirit?
I mean, they think that it's something, Scully thinks that it's political, which is fair because
yeah, of, I mean, it kind of is, not political exactly, but it's because they
yeah.
took these things away.
Right.
Took
she thinks
bones
that
away.
Dr. Belak is like killing people, basically.
Okay.
And Mulder thinks it's a curse. And so they're like both kind of right, I guess.
Yeah. Wonder if I could pay you to watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Maybe.
Could I pay you to watch an episode of it?
Maybe. It's more of a like, it's not a time thing, it's a capacity thing, if that makes sense. Like, I
when you're working
have
all
the
day,
time.
By the time the kids go to bed, you only have so much brain power left and you don't want to start a new show.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so it's like, if I have to pay attention to something, that seems too hard.
I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because, yeah, when you're tired, you're like, I need something easy. And even something that is comedy, if it's new to you, it's not as easy as something you've seen.
Yes. The only new things I can start, and by things, I mean one show I've been able to start, is the new iteration of Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
I do think reality TV seems a little bit just easier entryway or whatever.
That, and also because I can have it on with when the kids are awake.
So,
yeah, if I can like put something on, like the other day I was doing my nails and Hugo was making bracelets out of rubber bands and we were just like hanging out in mine and Zach's room and had Extreme Makeover on. And so like if I can do that, but if it's something that I have to wait until they're asleep and now they're like going to sleep later and later because they're getting older. And so my time.
But they're still not old enough to watch right. a lot of this stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So give me a couple of years.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Cause I mean, I get the, like, you're tired. You don't want to start something new, but at my house we can put on whatever we want.
Right. Basically. At any time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's about it. So,
yeah.
You're going to watch Hell Money.
Yeah. I'm going to watch Hell Money.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, I really hope that it's done well. I don't know if it's, I'm going to just be like, I mean, look, it's the mid 90s. I'm not expecting that much,
yeah.
frankly, but I mean, Lucy Liu's a good actress. So that's neat to see her.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, it, again, it was the two problems, both that the subject matter was bad, but it was also bad. So if you could just get one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think we should both watch Jose Chung's.
Okay. Sounds good. Cool. All right. Well, until next time then, rate, review, subscribe. And we haven't had a story in a while.
Yeah.
Our bar is pretty low. It's lower than ever. So,
you know. Yeah, if you're like, you know, I saw a weird looking bug the other day. Tell us. That's an X-File. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
We Want to Believe is hosted by Helen Werner and Liz Holden. It's produced by Zach Werner. The We Want to Believe theme music was created and recorded by Zach Werner. Find us at wewanttobelievepod.com, on Instagram at wewanttobelievepod, or send us an email at wewanttobelievepod@gmail.com.